Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good evening. I'm John Landecker. Thank you for tuning in. It's coming up on 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Chef Manny Mendoza is going to join. Hey, how are you, Chef?
Great. Thank you, John.
Now, listen, I know that a chef of your caliber is referred to as chef. No one walks around going, hey, Manny. They go, excuse me, chef. I mean, I've watched enough cooking shows on TV to know that that's what they say. And you're that caliber, my man. You are
thank
that
you,
caliber.
Thank you.
Oh, no. This is really going to be something. I think people who stick around for this hour are going to be, number one, informed about a whole different level of what we're going to talk about. And I think they'll be very impressed with you, Manny. I really do. We started this topic last week because of an article that appeared in a number of newspapers about edible chefs making high-level gourmet food infused with CBD and THC. And I have a couple of headlines here. Marijuana supper clubs in Chicago. It's not some kind of criminal enterprise going on here. It's a dinner party. And another paragraph, if you will. Marijuana is coming out of the shadows as more states look to legalize the drug for recreational use and the stigma eases. Perhaps nowhere is that more evident than in food. As weed matures from its college dorm pot brownie reputation into a respected ingredient in fine dining. Exclusive cannabis-infused supper clubs. Before we get to all that, Chef Manny, can you give us your background?
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Chicago. I'm from the Pilsen neighborhood. And I've really grown up like on the south and west sides, primarily of the whole city, just doing things all over. But primarily, I started cooking at a pretty young age. So that was really big to me in high school and after school matters programs and Gallery 37, YMCA. Those kind of programs were extremely, extremely vital to, you know, my upbringing and me being able to stay focused and passionate about something. So, you know, those are things that are very important and what has allowed me to do what I can do today. So that's pretty much like where I'm from and my story as far as Chicago, but or growing up here.
Yeah.
But I ultimately went to the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York.
Wow.
And yeah, that was an amazing experience.
Was
that,
school. Did they used to be in Poughkeepsie, New York?
Yeah, it's right
yes.
next to Poughkeepsie. It's in Hyde Park.
I've been there. I have, not as a student, but as a participant. The Culinary Institute is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, I agree. I feel very fortunate and lucky and blessed to have been able to have that opportunity.
I mean, this is high-class culinary education on a very serious level with pristine kitchens, classrooms. There's a, I don't know if it's still operated this way, but there was a restaurant connected to the school, and you could make reservations and go to dinner. And you would be, you know, the students would take care of the entire operation and obviously the food. And it was quite an experience. I went in there early and walked around a little bit and stared into the classrooms. And it looks like college, you know, except it's about cooking. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, they treated it to a very high standard level of professionalism that, you know, really like extended throughout careers of all of the students.
Yes.
I'm very good friends with a lot of students that were I went to school with.
Well, I originally thought we'd have Chef Manny on for like a half an hour. And then I started doing a little research, and I saw some stuff that just blew me away, to be honest with you. And I said to my producer, the wonderful Bearded Brendan, I said, can you call him and see if he can do an hour? Because there's a lot of stuff here that has, it has to do with food and cannabis, but it also has to do with culture and history and purpose and mission. And as that paragraph said, this isn't about a bunch of college idiots getting together and making marijuana brownies in the 70s and 80s and then getting the munchies and eating an entire tub of Cool Whip. Now, I don't know where I got that idea from, but I'm told that it did happen. I'm told that it did happen. We got a couple of minutes here, a couple minutes before we're going to take a break, the first one. So you grew up with a passion for cooking. Did that originate in your family?
Yes, actually, it definitely originated with my mom. My mom, you know, she was everything for me. She is currently everything for me. But as far as, like, cooking, she cooked for me at a very young age. And, you know, being able to, like, peep into the kitchen and smell, like, just get the aroma and build, like, cement that into my memory to the point where, you know, just having flavor became a trait, and I appreciate her for that, for like giving me the trait of being able to put flavor on things. And I could do that with a whole range of things, not just food, but especially food. Yeah. So I attribute that passion into like what things could taste like and should be like, even though she just wasn't super diverse. It was always made with love. So that was very important. And that, you know, rippled into me doing other things with food and pursuing it as you know, wanting to learn the technique of it, to wanting to learn about the the food system in general, and you know how it's marginalized certain communities, especially in Chicago. And you know, that's part of the reason why I even went to chef school, was to learn about these inequities and you know why we have such issues in terms of like violence in the city and, and, you know, dealing with mental health and trying to especially bounce back from the pandemic that, you know, changed everybody's life. So food has always been like, you know, the universal language that can speak and heal the people, and wanting to bridge that with cannabis is something that, it has a healing component. It's a healing plant. So it has a healing component to it. So being able to use that to, you know, combine all of that information and all of this industry to start becoming more equitable in the sense of restoring and remediating a lot of the issues that haven't been resolved in the whole city and the state. And it's a nationwide thing, but I feel like in Chicago we're very like, we feel very close to home, and we appreciate our neighbors. We love our city. We love each other. Even, you know, despite certain differences, we have an affinity to one another. And we can use that energy to rebuild and remediate and regenerate, you know, our neighborhoods by using and changing and reforming and transforming and evolving food systems and this brand new cannabis industry that's a part of agriculture technically. So under the umbrella of agriculture, we need to go back to, you know, our fundamentals as human beings and using plants and plant-based things to heal ourselves and, you know, our neighborhood, our economy, our way of thinking, what we do and put in our bodies, how we react, how we heal from certain traumas. It's a very broad thing. So, but it can start with coming together and like having this common goal and common drive and common mission using things that we all love.
I said that there was a lot more going on here than just putting pot into food, and I think you proved that. Chef Manny Mendoza is with us. We'll do more with him after the break. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker at 821 with Chef Manny Mendoza, who won the episode of the Netflix show that I saw him on, Cooking with Cannabis. It was like you won $10,000, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I was watching this show, and it's just like imagine your regular all-American cooking show, competition between chefs. They've only got a certain amount of time. There's an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And by the time it got to the second entree, your second entree, I was like drooling. And I mean, that food looked so good. It was unbelievable. I mean, and that's part of it, isn't it? The presentation on the plate when you're a chef of your level, I mean, that's part of the experience, is it not?
It's true. Very true. It's very important. Thank you.
But it did cause my mind to say, you know, that food looks so good. Why THC and CBD? Why would they be infused as part of that meal? What's the deal? What gave you the idea to do that? What does it do to the food? How do you feel the effect of it is? What I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It works. I mean, any chef or anybody that is very passionate about food and ingredients, mm-hmm. and agriculture and herbs would know that, like, when you cook with all kinds of herbs, mint, basil, oregano, thyme, all these different herbs are in aromatics, come with volatile oils, essential oils that are called terpenes, mm-hmm. and flavonoids and all kinds of things. So these certain flavors and aromas lend all kinds of effects that can alter mood and change your mood in usually a more positive light, or keep you more clear or more awake and more focused, or a sense of well-being and warmth. There's all kinds of things that plants and plant-based medicine and herbs can do. So when it comes to the show, it was just obvious. I mean, they wanted to do it. It's California. They want to do a cannabis show and mm-hmm. show how chefs can infuse this herb into dishes. But what's great about the THC and CBD and the other cannabinoids that are present in the plant is that they have their own effects outside of just the flavor. But cannabinoids have a certain effect on our bodies because our bodies have an endocannabinoid system naturally built in. So it's like we're naturally built to consume this plant and process what it has to offer. And depending on how we use it, if we use it more mindful, we can get the most out of this plant and have a life that has more well-being in it, or at least that being the focus is well-being. Yeah. And so it's almost like a tool. So you have to learn about that tool. And what was wrong about the past was the propaganda that it was not a tool, that it was something bad, and that it hurt people. So the narrative now is to change it to be something that is healing, because that's really truly what this plant is about. So incorporating it into the food made total sense. Hollywood wanted to get in on it, and they've already produced some shows. And I was fortunate enough to be picked. So, and brought it home for the city.
As you have just demonstrated, not only do you need, you're a graduate of the Culinary Institute of America and a top shelf chef. So you obviously had to do a lot of education about food. But as you speak, it's obvious that you have educated yourself also in the, what'll I call it, the marijuana world, if you will. It sounds like you majored in marijuana somewhere. I don't mean smoking it. I don't mean smoking it. I mean researching the effect and the medical aspects of it, because you speak directly to that.
Absolutely. It's a very important component to everything that we do, is we mm-hmm. want to educate. We're not here. We don't do dinners to, you know, get people to... Or move people further away from themselves. When they come, we feel like there's more of like this gravity pull internally, because you're in a comfortable place where you can understand and be educated about the plant and its full range of, you know, the aspects that come with it, not just the medicinal or wellness aspects, or mm-hmm. you know, the actual horticulture of it, the actual science of the actual plant and its components, but our social responsibility to creating a whole new industry that's based around healing, using cannabis and the, you know, in its totality and with intention and purpose, because it shouldn't really just be about money. Obviously, the money is that's the world we live in, and it has to be done, and jobs have to be created. But we can use a lot of money that come from cannabis revenues to be able to be poured back into the place that they reside in, into the actual community, because that's what the plant does. The cannabis plant is a soil remediator. So wherever you plant it, basically, it puts nutrients, it puts life back into the soil that it's planted in. So if we're going to create an industry, let's create an industry around that model and concept. I also went to farm school, so I use a lot of in San Diego.
Yeah.
I use a lot of my, you know, metaphors coming from nature and coming from plants. And you know,
absolutely,
you know, we shouldn't remove ourselves even further from that. We should get even closer to that, so that we can really make the most out of it. So,
We got a break for news in a couple of minutes. We're talking to Chef Manny Mendoza, who is obviously into infusing food with THC and CBD for a lot of very important reasons other than, hey, let's get a buzz. But I have to say that one thing did amuse me is that you call, I believe these places are called supper clubs, right?
Sure, yeah.
Well, a supper club brings an image of old-fashioned 1930s, 1940s. You're in a leather booth with a lazy Susan that's got vegetables on it that you rotate, and then you order a steak. I mean, have you ever been to an old-line, typical supper club? I mean, that's a whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I know there's some around in the city.
Like, yeah.
Staples, for sure, but I'm...
I love the idea that this time-honored expression, and this is just me, supper club was used to tack on as part of the name of a restaurant that serves, or a pop-up restaurant, or a private dinner that serves THC and CBD-infused entrees at the supper club, of course. Stay on the line there, Chef Manny Mendoza. Got a lot more I want to get to, and I also... hopefully you'll describe some of these recipes that you did on the Netflix show or whatever. Absolutely. Else you've got, whatever else you got cooking, because, man, where do you hear that? 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. It's 837. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking to Chef Manny Mendoza, who is a high-level gourmet chef and an advocate and spokesperson, I might say, for the cannabis dining industry, for lack of a better term. And I believe your particular enterprise is called Herbal Notes Supper Club. Is that correct?
Yes. It's called Herbal Notes.
And
we're a community. I see us as a community, not necessarily an industry, but we're a community.
Right. Okay. Good point. Which I think underlines... everything that you've been saying. So,
absolutely.
Herbal Notes Supper Club, is it an actual place? Is it a pop-up? What is it?
Well, it's a pop-up within an actual place. It's a members-only supper club where we do explore, you know, a wide menu that rotates every season, and we cook with, you know, all kinds of botanical herbs and spices, and we try to keep it pretty culture, at least our own culture, based. But, you know, because of the Culinary Institute, I have global influence, obviously. I've been to a lot of places, so I love food from all over the world.
Right.
So I like to marry that together and introduce that into a menu that, you know, represents those diasporas of people that traveled and trekked and voluntarily and involuntarily across the entire globe, and, you know, brought with them food and recipes and herbs and or seeds and different plants, and you know that they cultivated that into cuisine. So I try to embody that as best as I can, you know, with as much respect and homage as possible. But that definitely includes CBD and other cannabinoids. Mm-hmm.
You talked about the wellness aspect of it, and people should remember that the initial legalization of marijuana was for medical reasons, and that you could get a medical card, and then you were able to obtain medical marijuana. So obviously, there has been a proven medicinal effect of a positive nature for some people in their illnesses and aches and pains. And then came recreational legalization. So you've obviously put both of those things together, trying to bring communities together, trying to get wellness to people, and also have a great dinner, quite frankly. And there was another aspect of it that I wanted to get back to. Last week we talked to Jess Jackson. She and her partner run a place in the Detroit area called the Copper Plate, I believe. And it's more like a bud and breakfast, so to speak. But she also addressed something that you mentioned earlier about part of your mission is to elevate disadvantaged communities that have been overly targeted, for lack of a better term, in the past. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with Herbal Notes, we do put an emphasis on holistic self-care. So that's why, mm-hmm. you know, we're about cannabis. We love cannabis because of that healing component that it comes with, especially with food. But that's become our entire ethos. So what we believe in as a supper club, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. You know, we're really mission-driven because we want to, I sought out to do this so that we can have a platform to speak on these subjects so that I can be on the radio or I can be on Netflix and I can talk about, you know, being able to use cannabis intentionally as an industry because there's so much money involved. But we also want to use food and change our food system so that our schools and school children and TPS and across the entire state can have better quality food. It's really not that difficult. We have it. The availability and the capacity to do it for restaurants and fine dining, etc. But to feed our children, we want to give them the best. We want to show them the world. We want to show them different people and cultures. And, you know, that's why we do what we do. And that's why, you know, we're not just a restaurant or a supper club. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really a platform and we're a collective of different people. And those different people are different assets. And, you know, that creates a whole network and a network of resources that stretch across the entire country of high-level professionals that care about the same things. They have different skill sets, and they want to come together to, you know, use what their shared joy and love and passion for cannabis, use it for a common good. So that's why we do what we do, and we're a hub for that and those kind of people. But ultimately, we want to be able to use that power, just like Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. We want to use that influence to actually make a direct impact and change on people, real life people in real time, and not just talk about it, not just have a marketing campaign mm-hmm. around it, but translate it into someone getting the aid that they need, someone getting the treatment that they need, the health care that they need, or getting the food that they need, or getting the assistance that they need. You know, the list can go on. And, you know, we're not all the way out the gate with this pandemic and the effects of it. And because the cannabis industry was deemed essential, then it should be essentially responsible for helping heal what we have going on collectively and what we're all dealing with collectively. So there's a big responsibility on the cannabis industry to be 1,000% more intentional with what is really driving them. Obviously, it's money. Obviously, there's a lot of money invested in. And, you know, there's a lot at stake for people in special interest. But you know, we have, you're always going to be tied into the people and the community and our collective struggle. It, you know, it can't be a power imbalance. We all have to be able to use what we have going on for us to help one another so that we have less issues that end up being, you know, a lot worse than they need to. We just don't need to do that. And that's what cannabis is, our common thread between all of us, across every spectrum of life on Earth. You know, we have the common thread of an endocannabinoid system and our common passion for using holistic approaches of self-care. So that's what we try to embody through food, through drink, through music, especially, and all of the people that make it up, the entire community. Yeah. So that's,
you want to run? You want to run for mayor?
No. Nah, man, I'm good. I could be using a lot of other good ways.
You're just a well-spoken person, Matty. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker. It's coming up on 8:50. Thanks for joining us. We're spending this hour with Chef Manny Mendoza, talking about food, talking about infusing food with cannabis and CBD and THC, and we've got some people texting in some questions, and I'm, instead of specifically going to put them on the air and answer them, or have you answer them, I just suggest that if anybody really has a question about this, go to the Netflix series Cooking with Cannabis, and I believe it's episode 6, and this is the episode in which Chef Manny defeats two other chefs and wins $10,000. But more than that, you'll see how the relationship between CBD and THC is taken into account into each and every single one of these unbelievable dishes. So we're getting questions about that, and I just want to refer people to that. You'll be totally entertained, that's for sure. Don't do it on an empty stomach, because you'll be starving after it's over. So, we've discussed the social implications and the cause and all of that. Now, let's get down to the food. Give us, Manny, can you give us a recipe or two that either you didn't do on that episode or that episode or whatever you'd care to offer up?
Sure. I mean, exact ratios, you'll probably have to DM me.
The ratios were taken into account on the Netflix series with each dish. Not only yours, but the other contestants. So
right.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I did for one of the dishes was something that's traditional and special to me, because I'm Central American, half Central American, from El Salvador, and half Mexican. I wanted to put a dish on and highlight, you know, what speaks to me, and that's the Salvadoran style pupusa, and it's basically like a stuffed tortilla, but it has it's made out of corn dough, but it's stuffed with cheese, and you can just fill it with, you know, obviously beans and vegetables and certain meats. So it's really delicious and underrated, mostly because we have a small community compared to the Mexican side, mm-hmm. In Chicago and in Illinois, but it's very delicious. So I wanted to pay homage to that on the show, and, you know, it definitely resonated with a lot of people from Central America, and they reached out to me. So that was pretty beautiful, but the dish also consisted of a pineapple, chipotle, like a char. It was grilled, I believe. Yeah, charred, grilled pineapple chipotle salsa, which I infused. I forgot with what exact concentrate, because we had a whole plethora to use from. But and then I topped it with a red cabbage curtido, which is like a lightly pickled but spiced, with like cumin and chili flakes and coriander, and it was a cabbage. So it paired really well with the rich.
Wow.
It paired really well with the richness of the pupusa. I also do other things too, like for herbal notes that's not on the menu, or at least was not on the Netflix show.
Yeah.
One thing that I've been enjoying to make lately has been a cavatelli pasta that's infused with cilantro. And I make a kind of like a mornay or bechamel, which is like a cheese sauce, traditionally French, like cheese sauce. But with I infuse chile poblano into that as well. So it's green. It's a very green dish. It marries, you know, some Mexican with some French and a little bit of Italian. And I top it with cotija cheese. I also use like poached king crab as well. This is one of our, you know, top shelf dishes that we use for herbal notes. You know, we try to incorporate different herbs into the entire dish, and some crispy prosciutto when we want to feel luxurious. But I'm extra top shelf, and spring peas as well. So it's a very green dish. It has a lot of richness, but it's also very, you know, decadent, and it's very top shelf. So that's what we do at Herbal Notes. Right. Very top shelf, but we also have Toque Libre, which is more casual. It's a cafe and wine bar that promotes black and brown owned wines and spirits and beers that are local, especially. So that's something that's more fast casual that you can come in.
Right.
It's a members only cafe, so you come, you become a member, and you can come into our space and allow us to give you some Chicago hospitality that's very genuine and real.
Yeah, and we're running out of time, but I got to tell you, not just the dish that he described, but there was a dessert that also contained, I think it was infused with cognac, and I mean, it was mind blower. Hennessy.
It was Hennessy. I wish it was Douce. I should have asked for Douce, but it was a honey buttermilk baked or a biscuit that was baked fresh, and then it had a peach flambé. So I actually infused the Hennessy with cannabis in a whipped cream canister, and then use that liquid to flambé the actual peaches. I topped that, and then I made a Hennessy and Blue Dream Sabayon, which is kind of like a, you know, fluffy egg, you know, sauce or
Stop
cream.
Stop there. I'm going crazy. My stomach is jumping up and down, and we're also out of time. The best to you, Chef Manny Mendoza. I'll be looking for you. I'll be watching your story for quite a few years, I believe. Thanks so much for being with us. Really enjoyed it.
Come in.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Thank you, Chef. There he goes.